The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, the Father, God has sent his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." And so they said to him, "What sign can we do that we may see and believe in you? What can we do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And so Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. We read last week about a miracle Jesus did to multiply the loaves, feed the 5,000. And we talked a little bit about how that was a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. And today, Jesus continues this theme. He offers us the bread of life. There's something beautiful about just the person of Jesus. He's so gentle in his offering. He invites you. He's not going to force you to receive him. He's not going to force the bread of life on you. It's there for you to approach and to take. Now, there's a painting I want to show you today. I haven't done an art history homily in a while, so I figured I would go ahead and bring in a painting from a painter who had a pretty rough life. All right, this painting is by Caravaggio. Now, Caravaggio, he just couldn't stop getting into bar fights. Basically, that's his life story. He went from town to town, always one step ahead of the law. And when he would get there, he would paint his paintings. And he's a bridge between Renaissance and Baroque art. He did something that no one had been doing before, which was to paint with lots of light and shadow. As an amateur painter myself, I can tell you, painting shadow is one of the hardest parts of painting. It's not as easy as it might seem. And so very few artists actually attempted to do that, but he was so good at it, Caravaggio could tell a story with just where the light would fall in a painting. And so he paints this story. This is the Supper at Emmaus. Now let's go back to the beginning of the story. It's the day after the Sabbath. Jesus' tomb is empty. The disciples and apostles are trying to figure out what's going on. And two disciples, one named Cleopas, walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And their hearts are heavy, but they're also confused because they know that the tomb is empty, but they're not sure what it really means. And then alongside them, a figure, a person comes and journeys with them. And they don't know it's Jesus. He's there, but he doesn't look like Jesus anymore. And in fact, when they see him, they call him a foreigner because they ask him, "Are you the only stranger to Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been going on?" And He didn't look like one of them, clearly. So they journey on, and Jesus starts to talk to them about the scriptures and how the Old Testament was being fulfilled in him as the Messiah, and their hearts are burning, and eventually they get to the end of their journey, and they're going into the inn, but Jesus, again, starts to kind of walk on. He doesn't want to force himself into their dinner, into the inn. So they beg him to stay. They say, please stay with us, come in. And they sit down. Jesus takes the bread, breaks the bread, and in that instant he disappears, but it's in that instant they see him for the first time. And this is what the painting represents. It's that split second before Jesus disappears, and as they receive the bread of life, the Eucharist, these two disciples become missionary disciples in that moment. They know it was Jesus. They get up and they run back to Jerusalem. So if you look at the painting, Caravaggio, what he was doing, he had a very raw human existence, very gritty, and he made sure that his paintings reflected humanity. The men in the painting on the right, he's an old man. Their clothes are tattered. They're dressed in the time of Caravaggio, how they would dress. But Jesus is different. He's dressed like the time of Jesus. And if you notice, Jesus doesn't even have a beard. That was because in the first Christian paintings of Jesus in the catacombs, he looks more like a Roman. It wasn't until the 6th century, when the Shroud of Turin would come out to light, that the paintings would then show Jesus with his beard and his Jewish features, but in this painting, he looks a little different. You see, sometimes it's hard to recognize Jesus, but he's always there with us. So the man on the right, Jesus's left, is Cleopas, and there was a tradition in the early church, and it's valid even today, that possibly Cleopas was the brother of Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. Some of his children were the first part of the first Christians. And so that's why he's an old man. And the man on the left, he's nameless. We don't know who he was. But he's there in that excitement of recognizing Jesus, and he's getting out of his chair, and Cleopas has one hand on Jesus, and he's got one hand reaching out to us, and the innkeeper's the only one there who doesn't fit the scene at all, right? He's just kind of unaware of anything that's happening. He's not a Christian. He's not really a man of faith. The miracle is being lost on him. Now, Caravaggio was an artist in a special way, because his paintings draw you in. If you notice the table, the square of the table, it's empty on our side. And he's telling us to come close, that we are being invited by Jesus to the table of the Lord to take your place there. And if you notice our place, where Cleopas is actually like drawing us in, there's a bowl of fruit. And the bowl of fruit's almost falling off the table. It makes you kind of want to reach out and push it back on the table. There's something about it. You just want to reach out and touch it. Caravaggio put a little secret in the painting. If you were an early Christian, for the first centuries, it was dangerous to be a Christian. You could lose your life. And so it wasn't often the first thing you might say about yourself when you're meeting someone for the first time, right? You wouldn't say, I'm Mike, I'm a Christian, right? That was dangerous. But the Christians did want to express their faith, and they had their own little secret handshake, okay? We all know that the symbol of the fish is a symbol for Jesus, for Christianity. You see it on car bumpers all the time, right? That simple stick drawing of a fish, right? One arc going up and another arc underneath, making a fish. And the Christians used the fish because in Greek, the word for fish, remember I failed Greek in the seminary, so I didn't come up with this, but the first Christians, the word for fish, the letters would spell out an acronym, and the acronym was Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So they were even using acronyms back then. So the fish was a secret symbol of Christianity. You might put it on your house. right? And people would know, Christians would know, that's a Christian home. But if you were out traveling, what you might do if you met someone and you didn't know if they were a Christian or not, and you were too maybe careful and you didn't really want to say you were a Christian, you might just innocently, nonchalantly, just with your foot trace an arc on the ground. And then you'd step back and the conversation would continue, and you'd wait to see if that person would step forward and finish the arc and make the fish. And if they did, you knew they were a Christian. Caravaggio puts that in the painting. If you get up close and you look at the basket of fruit, he's playing with shadow and light, but there's a twig from the basket which is sticking out towards us, and it's half of the fish drawing. It's the arc coming out. And because you're tempted to want to push the basket on, you have to make a decision. Will you, with your life, finish that arc? It's in shadow, but Caravaggio's saying, are you a Christian? Do you believe? Now, Caravaggio's painting this in 1601, right in the midst of the Protestant Reformation. And one of the things that was being debated, some of the Protestant reformers were saying the Eucharist and the sacraments weren't truly the body and blood of Christ. And so there was a lot of paintings of the time kind of as a counter-reformation to say, no, we do believe this. And so by putting the basket there for you to make that decision is to say, Jesus, he's offering you the bread of life. Do you want this? Do you believe? And it's up to us to give that assent of faith. It's a mystery. We're never going to really figure out exactly what the bread of life, the Eucharist, is. We can't fully wrap our minds around it, but it is the central part of our faith. And so today, as we finish our liturgy of the Word and we begin the liturgy of the Eucharist, we always pray the Creed, right? We always stand and profess our faith in these mysteries. And so I want to invite all of you here today to please stand now, and with your heart full of love for these gifts, profess your faith, finish that fish in your heart as we pray, I believe in one God, the Father of